You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 33. So, our pretty standard episode to go through for this week. Not too much news and things like that going on, but there will be a couple of announcements next week from Mobile World Congress, so there's that. Look out for a special episode as well for next week. More about that for next week's episode to keep it a surprise. I'm thinking about doing something a little special, but we'll see what comes up or if I come up with anything, but I'll do something no matter what just to make it a little bit different than most episodes. So with that, I will jump right into this week's segment, or this week's theme and tech news segments, to be more specific. So the theme for episode 33 is the business cycle. So this is something that happens with every business, no matter what industry you're in. It is basically the fluctuations in economic activity over a period of time. So as the economy is growing, your company is generally going to expand because of the more opportunities, more cash going through the system and that sort of thing. And then recessions are a result of contractions in the economy. So economic slowdown, people are spending less, so you have less money to go around and things like jobs are affected and that sort of thing. But the business cycle generally, in the economic sense of it, is the ups and downs. The best graphical representation is the stock market. So as a public likes a particular stock and the company is doing favorable things, then you see that stock price improve and their beta and their earnings per share and things like that improve. As the company slows down, there's a lack of growth, there's a lack of change or uniqueness or various other factors, and you'll see that their stock price be affected negatively. An alternative look at the business cycle is also also known as a product cycle. Maybe a theme for a future episode, but in short, essentially, it's the life cycle of a product from the original conception of the idea of that product to that product's end of life. So how to create that product, promote it, build it out, sell it, price it, expand the product line from that one product. And then as that product's life ends or its usefulness diminishes, then you end that product's life. So that is along the lines of a business cycle as well. So that is all for that. So with that, I will jump into this week's tech news. So to start it off, Hulu released their Universal app for Windows 10 and Windows 10 Mobile using the Universal Windows platform, also known as UWP. So essentially it's one app for all the Windows platforms. So it doesn't matter which version of Windows 10 you're using, or actually which device you're using Windows 10 on. You'll get the same Hulu experience and app and look and feel, so they have minimal changes to make on the back end. Google changed the name of their social think tank to Jigsaw, and it's now become a tech incubator for social issues. So as there's things like, I forget what they specifically said, but as they see various social issues, this think tank is meant, or this incubator is now there to help solve those issues and find a way to solve them. Gmailify is a new update to Gmail for Android to now apply Google spam filters, labels, and Google Now integration to non-Gmail accounts. So if you're using the Gmail app for Android and you add Hotmail and Yahoo, Google's spam filters will now apply itself to those accounts, so it'll automatically mark them as spam. If you have your labels and categories enabled, then you'll see that applied as well. So travel, insurance, promos, and things like that will get applied as well. And then you'll also see that related information translated into Google Now. So if you have flight information or cooking or restaurant reservations or things like that, then that will show up in Google Now as well. So if you want to have all of those features, all you need is a Gmail app for Android, and then enable the Gmailify setting within the app. It should be in the settings menu once it becomes available for you. Google released the public beta for their Cloud Vision API. So this will essentially allow developers to build image recognition into their apps. So If it's just yet another feature, no examples pop to mind or anything like that at the moment. But essentially, if you want to have image recognition in your app, then developers can now use this API. In more Google news, Google Play Games got an update to now have a gamer ID function. So this essentially adds a feature to Google Play Games that lets you build your own gamer profile. So if you have a gamer tag that you always use and want a profile picture and information and all that, that will now be available. You'll see that show up in the Google Play Games app settings area. So once it's available, just go in there and you can set that all up for yourself. So if you want that, or if you want a consistent gamer tag experience, or if it's something you already do, then this should help you out that much more. And finally, Meizu announced the Ultimate Edition Pro 5 smartphone. It's Ubuntu Linux-based smartphone. It has a 5.7-inch screen, 8-core Exynos processor, 3 gigs of RAM with 32 gigs of storage, or 4 gigs of RAM with 64 gigs of storage, a 21-megapixel rear camera, a 5-megapixel front camera, and a 3,050 milliamp hour battery. So overall, a pretty strong and powerful smartphone running Ubuntu. So if you want a Linux-based smartphone, then check it out. I haven't looked at it lately to see what features they offer as far as what other platforms include. So things like podcast client or media players, apps and things like that. So even how it accesses the websites like, let's say, Facebook or Google Plus or Twitter, or if it's all web-based or anything like that. So something to look into and see if that kind of idea can be used on Android or something along those lines as well. So that's all there is for that. So I will jump into this week's app review, and it's a way to make your fitness a little bit more entertaining. So let's say you're a runner and just having your music going is entertaining enough, but you want a little bit more, or you're into the zombie apocalypse and you wish you could have that kind of experience integrated with your workout, then check out the app called Zombies Run. It's an audio-based zombie adventure, so it starts you off at the or drops you in the zombie apocalypse along the lines of Rick Grimes, except for it starts wherever your starting point is, and it has a story divided by chapters. So you start at the beginning, as you run, you accomplish different missions depending on the length of your run. So for example, I did a 30-minute run in the first chapter, is approximately based on that. And then as it goes into the next 30-minute segment, so if you keep going, it'll go into the next chapter. And it will it'll integrate that story into your running. So let's say you're going around on a trail. It'll tell you that, hey, you're running in this direction. Zombies are after you. So it will do things like start playing zombie sounds, increase the dramaticness of the music, and tell you that, okay, you need to escape these zombies, and then give you various missions, like you're going towards the hospital, so pick up supplies, or we need to go on a supply run, so you need these other things. And then basically it integrates just various survival things or mission items on your run, and then that's pretty much all there is for that. And then it works with most of your media players, so you can listen to whatever you want. I tested it with Google Play Music and Pocket Cast, so it works with music and podcasts. I'm not sure about things like Amazon Music or Apple Music or anything like that. It seems like it could work since it did work with podcasts and music. So essentially what you'll be doing is you start playing your music, and then you'll open up Zombies Run and resume your mission if you already started, or start from the beginning. It'll pause whatever you're listening to and say, okay, so here's the situation. You're in a zombie apocalypse. You need to go. If you want to come join these group of survivors, then keep running and they'll guide you along your way. So it features things like the zombie sound effects, more dramatic music as something important is happening, and then various motivational things like, okay, you're doing good, keep running, run faster, watch out, things like that, just to help motivate you that much more on the way if you're, for example, running on your own and you need that motivation. And then it has a certain level up gaming feature to it. So as you collect supplies, you build up your base, you help out other people, you build up with the community in the base that you're working out of. So I think it's Able Township. So as you collect supplies, as you run more and more, you get more into the story, and it becomes that much more of an immersive experience. So the more you run, the more you can do with the game. So definitely worth checking out. I've did the first like chapter and a half, so next time I go running, I'll try it again and keep going a little bit more. The beauty of this game, though, is that it's cross-platform compatible, so it's in Google Play for Android, in the App Store for iOS, and in the Windows Phone App Store as well. So if you own a Windows Phone device, iOS device, or Android device, you can get it. There is a free version which has things like advertisements and fewer customization options. So, for example, each mission in the free version, as far as I could tell, is about 30 minutes long. If you get the pro version, it removes ads and also lets you customize the length of each mission. So let's say if the 30 minutes, the motivational zombie apocalypse announcer thing is too much time, you can get the pro version and shorten a little bit. Or let's say you want to just make each chapter a 45 minute run for an hour long run, you could adjust it to that as well, things like that. So definitely worth checking out. It's entertaining enough and just another way to augment whatever you listen to and have a way to help keep yourself motivated in case you like zombies and or in the zombie apocalypse and want to have that much more in your life instead of just having The Walking Dead, which coincidentally just returned last week with season 6 episode 9, I think it's No Way Out. So look out for a little bit more on that after the break, but that's kind of what prompted me to think about this app, because I saw I think it was a commercial, I was listening to the radio and I heard about how it was coming back this Sunday, so what can I do to talk about that a little bit more. So definitely worth checking out. I'll have a link in the show notes to the screencast I did, a screencast review for the app, so you guys can check out what it looks like, kind of what the different missions are, what the app looks like, the supplies you get, the mission layout, and that sort of thing. And then once you're done with your workout, you can share what you did and how you survived, how long you ran. You get a nice track of your the run that you did. So if you do the airdrop, you can see your full cycle that you did for the run, or if you just did a start from the beginning and you went from there. So there's all sorts of little perks like that as well. So within the app, so you can keep track of what you've done previously, or continue the story where you left off, and just pick up supplies and see what kind of progress you're making. So that's all there is for that. So after the short break, I'll jump into this week's entertainment. Life of an Accounting Droid is brought to you by you in a couple of great and exciting ways. So if you want to help expand the show and the network, we do have a couple of Patreons set up to help you support the show and the network in whatever way you can. So let's say you love Life of an Accounting Droid and you want to see more posts on the feed, you want to have an Android app to quickly and easily get to the post and via different categories and things like that. Let's say you want to have a Q&A segment, then be sure to visit patreon.com/patelin01 to check out the various patron levels and what kind of things you can unlock by helping to support the show. You can also help support the network by visiting patreon.com/geekio. This helps our flagship show go ad-free. So let's say you just want to blaze through the show, listen to all of it uninterrupted. You can do things like that. Let's say you wanted a weekly D&D episode. Helping to contribute to the Geek.io Patreon can help do that as well as adding special patron content, adding a new show, getting more con coverage, all of the great geeky, nerdy stuff that we all love. So that's patreon.com/geekio for all of that good stuff, as well as patreon.com/patelin01 to help the show expand as well. But that is all for that, so back to the show. And welcome back to the episode, everybody. Quite a lot to get through for this week. A bit of extra news, a lot of what I watched, and then a movie review. I actually did have a chance to watch Deadpool, so as you may notice, the app review is related to the return of a show, sort of, in a little bit. But that is last segment, so on with this segment. So to start it off with some news, Star Wars Episode 8 has begun filming, and they also added in their blog post that Benicio del Toro, Laura Dern, and Kelly Marie Tran have been added to the cast of Episode 8, so look out for that. I believe it's on the YouTube channel as well, but if you want a quick teaser to the teaser for the trailer that they've begun filming, that I think it should be up on the official Star Wars YouTube page, but it should also be able to be searchable at StarWars.com. In related sci-fi news, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 has also begun filming, so we can expect that soon as well. A new teaser image was released for Predator this week via the Predator Facebook page, so look out for that. It came with the caption, "You'll never see him coming." And finally, Monopoly released a new version of the game called Ultimate Banking. It's an updated version that does away with the cash and the banker and replaces it with debit cards and an ATM. So kind of a change up on that to modernize the game a little bit there. But that's all for that. So as far as what I watched, a little bit of the more of the usual. So Horace and Pete, season 1, episode 3. Here we have a little bit, or basically mostly as far as I can remember, a one shot for Louis C.K. talking to his ex-wife and just a little bit of a trip down memory lane there. I also had a chance to watch Black Sails season 1, episode 3. So more of the falling relationship between, or the, as far as what's going, more furthering the plot lines as far as taking over Nassau by the British, Flint and that team of pirates landing on a unknown, or possibly unknown island, but people that they don't know. So a little bit more going on there, but it is tied directly to one particular character from Nassau. I also had a chance to watch The Walking Dead season 6, episode 9, No Way Out. So we have a strong start return to the season. A lot more gorier, a lot more deaths and struggles going on here. Pretty cool use of the RPG. So the people who I thought were going to die actually didn't end up dying, considering that they are primary cast members. But I actually thought that they were going to be killed off. So a bit of a continuation there. I actually had a chance to watch The Expanse season 1, episode 1, Duel Cinea, and episode 2, The Big Empty. So earlier in the week, I was just thinking, I kind of wanted something to watch, and I got to thinking that I would try rewatching The Expanse. I was hearing a lot of good things about the show, and I kind of didn't like the first episode the first time around, but I thought, figured, let me give it another shot. Maybe I was just tired that day, or maybe just didn't hit me right. And I had a chance to watch it, and I actually really liked it. So maybe, I don't know if it's maybe because I saw it coming, or just whatever, watching it with a fresh pair of eyes, I liked it. So I watched episode 2, and it was still pretty entertaining, so I'm gonna continue watching that. So there is that. I also had a chance to watch The X-Files season 10, episode 5, Babylon. We have Mulder and Scully teaming up sort of tenuously with younger Mulder and, or Scully and Mulder, basically new team members who are kind of more along the size of Scully, but the guy kind of like a younger version of Mulder. So it was a pretty interesting episode at that. I'm still kind of figuring out where they're going with this miniseries, but I kind of hope they do more going forward. Especially with this team up, so maybe they're kind of going to hand off the reins to the new cast members. I also had a chance to watch Agent Carter Season 2, Episode 7, Monsters. So we have more of the SSR, namely Carter trying to get her hands on the Black Matter, and the actress lady trying to promote or further the cause of the agency, which I'm guessing is probably... And this is pure speculation and basically just speculation on my part that it's going to go along the lines of Hydra, but maybe we're seeing the formation or the early versions here. I'm not sure of the whole backstory there, but that is my guess and stab in the dark at that. I also had a chance to watch Star Wars Rebels Season 2, Episode 16, Homecoming. So we have what's her name, the Twi'lek captain lady, meet back up with her parents, and some of the tenuous relationship she has going on there with her father. So We kind of see why she was hesitant to team up with him, but Kanan's original liking of him, but then not liking of him. So it was a pretty entertaining episode there. And then finally, I had a chance to finish off Stargate Atlantis, the entire series. I watched season 5, episode 17 through 20. So it kind of seems like it ended where we could have seen more out of it. We see them defeating the advanced prototype Wraith warship, but then we have the Wraith that they had in captivity. So I could have seen that then pull off another season. There were a few episodes throughout the series, but mainly in episode 5 where they kind of pulled that off as well, where they send him back to the Pegasus galaxy. But basically the whole idea here was I wanted to finish watching all of the Stargate content media that I could, so now I can say that I've seen all the Stargate movies, the SDU-1, Atlantis, and Universe. So overall I kind of liked the entire world and story and universe that they built around that. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I will jump into this week's movie review. So I actually had a chance to catch Deadpool opening weekend. It opened on February 12, 2016, and has a runtime of 108 minutes. It was entertaining enough to the point where I didn't feel like it. It was well paced. It was a lot of, I don't want to say crude humor, but a lot of well placed humor. So it kept it going. It definitely not for younger kids, so I probably would say maybe 15 and older, or maybe high school age and older. It came with several taglines, including, "With great power comes great irresponsibility," "Witness the beginning of a happy ending," "Badass, smartass, greatass," "A new class of superhero," "Sit on this," "Wait till you get a load of me," "Size matters," "Feel the love, Valentine's Day," and "Justice has a new face." A brief summary of the movie is that a former Special Forces operative turned mercenary is subjected to a rogue experiment that leaves him with accelerated healing powers, where he adopts the alter ego Deadpool. So a pretty accurate summary of that. I like how they integrated the name into how he became that character. You kind of saw it coming a mile away with the bar that he hung out in, so you knew that that's kind of, unless they made the name of that game based on the character as part of the in-joke in the movie, among other things, but it was pretty well done. I liked how they brought that in. The movie was directed by Tim Miller, who's also known for Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, so if you want to kind of see where he's coming from, that's one of his other notable movies. It was getting an IMDb rating of 88%. On Rotten Tomatoes, it was getting an 84% critics rating and 96% audience rating. So, very favorably received and being reviewed, so people are enjoying it. So definitely worth a watch. A bit of a review for the movie. Francis should have made his code name Renard. So when I first see the guy who is the ultimate villain in the movie, and I got to thinking what it reminded me of, and it actually reminded me of the villain Renard from, I think it was The World Is Not Enough, that whichever one had the oil magnate lady and that bad guy where he couldn't feel any pain. So it's basically the same villain. So I was kind of hoping that they tried to make an in-joke there, or made the father of the villain this guy, or the Renard guy, and made that joke somewhere. So unless I missed it, that would have been a pretty cool joke for me. Why did Colossus feel like a Saturday morning special? So aside from everything else, Colossus was done very well. He was funny. I liked his joke and humor and how he was continuing to bring Deadpool into the X-Men and all of that. But the thing that kind of bothered me, I didn't have a problem with the making him CGI, but he seemed kind of out of place, and oddly, just the whole perspective, something didn't quite sit right for that. And then he also seemed too jokey as far as that went. Maybe a little bit more seriousness, or maybe a little bit more of him using his strength with Deadpool would have made it better. But in the grand scheme of things, it was done well, but something just felt a little bit off with him. And lastly, how did Deadpool have all that time to spell Francis? So, towards the end of the movie, when we're in the ultimate fight scene for the movie, we have, rather than having Deadpool actually say Francis' name, he spells it out with the bad guy. So I actually like that finishing touch and all of that. But I was kind of wondering how he had all that time, especially since Francis was actually not injured or attacked or not fighting. So shouldn't he figure out a way to try to take out Deadpool or do something along those lines? So that kind of bugged me in the whole grand scheme of things. But overall, the movie was done. There wasn't anything that I could take out that said that I could point to that said this is not a good movie or this is not my kind of humor or anything like that. It was well done. Going in, I knew that it was gonna have it was gonna have that kind of crude humor. You knew seeing the credits in the beginning that it was gonna be very sarcastic and jokey with all the, rather than having the cast names, they had the descriptions of them. You have a Green Lantern in the opening trading card version of Green Lantern in the opening credits. The various perspectives in the opening scene when we're, as a teaser to the actual scene in the movie. So it's definitely worth watching. The rating is well earned, so definitely worth watching. That's Deadpool by Marvel. And it's in theaters now if you want to see it now or if you want to see it later, but definitely worth watching and sticking through the credits. And in case you're expecting a Superman v Batman trailer, that's a DC property, Deadpool the Marvel movie, so just a bit of almost oversight on my part, but that explains that. So that is all for that, so I will jump right into the Star Wars profile. So for this week's profile, I wanted to review a character that doesn't actually get too much or he doesn't get any movie screen time, but he did get probably a few little bit of TV screen time. And the character is Sifo Dyas. So we first hear about him in, I believe it was episode 2, Attack of the Clones, when Obi-Wan first learns about the clones or the clone armies that are being created on Geonosis, or not on Geonosis, by the Kaminoans. And we don't hear too much about that after that. I think we hear a little bit more in episode 3, but that's about it. But Sifo Dyas was a human male. He was born on the Cassandran worlds. He was a Jedi Master with a seat on the Jedi High Council. He was actually a leading member of the Jedi Council until the events just prior to the Battle of Naboo. He was removed from the Jedi High Council because they deemed his ideas and his views to be too extreme for the Council, notably related to the vision that he received that the Republic is going to need an army for a massive full-scale war that is to come, and something he saw in his visions. Little did he know that it was actually part of... Actually, we don't know if it's because of the battle he saw, maybe because if they didn't have the clones that the droid armies would have taken over the Republic and there would be a terrible battle that way. But essentially, because of the vision he had of this great battle, he submitted a request for the clone army, but by pretending to have the order from the Republic Senate. So he did it all on his own and had that request submitted ahead of time just to be on the safe side. He was ultimately killed, though, over a moon over Obadiah, it's Obadiah, by the Pike Clan, and this is because the Sith Lord Darth Sidious learned about the request that was placed by him, and Sidious had Count Dooku arrange for that killing. His most notable achievement is his gift of foresight or force vision. It's a he had a big mastery or a big major ability to use a force vision, so he could see far into the future and have a clear vision of what was to come. So he did have that vision of the Clone Wars, and this is what caused him to ultimately, or this because of his power and this vision, it affected his views and outlook on life and ultimately caused him to be removed from the Council. A bit of fun fact, or other fun fact, is the reason we get to see him in the Clone Wars TV series is that his lightsaber was found on the moon of Obadiah by the Jedi Master Plo Koon and his clone commander Wolf. So what this resulted in was an investigation by Yoda, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Anakin Skywalker. Darth Sidious and Count Dooku ultimately created a vision to try and tempt Yoda to the dark side or try and distract him by creating a vision of Sifo Dyas using their force manipulations, but Yoda was not tricked because he noticed the Sith eyes in Sifo Dyas's manipulations, force ghost, whatever you want to call it. So essentially he declined Sidious's visions of revealing who the Sith Lord was. So that is actually all for that. So after the short break, I will jump into this week's life tip. So let's say you love Life of an Accounting Droid and you want to help support the show, but you're not up for a recurring payment, or maybe it's not in your budget for the month for a recurring payment. You can still help the show and the network grow and help contribute to the shows that you love to hear and all of that good stuff. First off, you can visit or check out some of the great deals we have going on by visiting geek-io.net/support. You can check out some of our sponsors like T-Fury, Tweaked Audio, ProXPN. If you shop on Amazon, we have an affiliates link, so definitely check those all out. If you see something you like and you want to help us out, you can click on those links and you'll get some very great deals and promotions and help us out at the same time. Let's say you want to contribute to the Life of an Accounting Droid directly, but you don't really feel up for signing up for Patreon, or as I mentioned, you can't really do a recurring payment. You can also contribute via PayPal by visiting paypal.me/patelN01. When you make the contribution, let's say you wanted to go to a particular segment, like you want me to review a specific app or watch a particular TV episode or movie or anything like that, by contributing this way, your money can go straight to that particular feature, that particular part of the show. Or if you just love the show or the episode, then you can help contribute that way as well with whatever you feel comfortable with giving. Let's say you also prefer to read, or you know someone who would enjoy the content of the show but prefers to read instead, or they're always on the go and want to have that same thing on their Kindle, for example, or wherever you get the Kindle app, be sure to check out Journal of an Accounting Droid, which is basically all the same content you get on the show but in the Kindle bookstore via an ebook format. You can check out all the latest releases by visiting author.patelN01.com. There's also a link to my Amazon author profile, so if you want to get notified as soon as a new journal is published, then there's also an email subscription link available, so you can easily buy it yourself or share it with anyone you might think is interested or anything like that. So be sure to check out all the great links at geek-io.net/support for all of our great sponsors, paypal.me/patelN01 for one-time contributions, and author.patelN01 for the Journal of an Accounting Droid ebooks. But that is all for that, so back to the show. So for this week's live tip, I actually wanted to build upon last week's tip of using Excel for calculations and documentations and things, as well as I forget which episode I had the theme of auditing on, but I wanted to combine the two a little bit and talk about templates and how it's useful for me. So I use templates quite a bit, usually almost every day to weekly, in a variety of different capacities to help my day be more efficient and just have that template ready so I don't have to go about creating the same thing over and over and over. So the first thing is in email. So I use Outlook regularly. So there's emails that I send out every day. I need to send statements to customers and updates and requests for payments and things like that. So I have default emails set up where all I have to do is copy and paste the same templates because it's the same request day in and day out. And all I have to do is change the customer name and number, dollar amounts, and things like that. So it's one less thing I have to type out because I don't want to go around typing the same email message day after day. It takes extra time to do that versus copying and pasting or just starting a new email template. So having that email template at the ready saves me time and also helps me get through that my reporting that much faster. If you don't use Outlook, and you don't necessarily have that ability to use an email template or email shortcut, just having that text ready in Notepad, for example, allows you to copy and paste it. Let's say if you use Gmail, Yahoo Mail, maybe Outlook on the web, and you want to copy and paste the same thing, you can do that as well and just have a template in Notepad to do the same thing. I also use templates for counting cash, so I'm often counting hundreds, 20s, 50s. I have quarters, dimes, nickels, pennies, whatever, and I don't want to have to, I mean, if it's small amounts, I can count it quickly in my head and keep track that way, but if it's large amounts, I want to be able to have it automatically calculated so I don't have to lose track, and if I get distracted, then I don't have to start all over again. But by having that template ready, I just have those rows set up. So 100, 50, 20, 10, 1, 10, 5, and 1, and then 25 cents, 10 cents, 5 cents, and 1 cent. And I have the formulas carried across. So all I have to do is count my hundreds, 50, all my bills by type, so or by amount. So hundreds, 50s, 20s, 10s, etc. Same thing with my change. I count my quarters, dimes, nickels, and pennies, type in the numbers. And I have my auto multiplication set up and then an auto sum set up. So once I'm done counting, I have my total at the end. And then same thing with sales commissions and audit templates. So I want to, I'm also often calculating credits and promos that we have going on. So I don't want to have to keep creating the same spreadsheets over and over or have to have the same formulas or enter the same formulas over and over. So what I will do is I'll have the template set up. So rather than putting the formulas into the report, I have the template set up and I'll copy the report into my template. So that way all the formulas, and because the size of the sheet is the same all the time, all I have to do is copy it into my template and my formulas calculate automatically. And I can get my totals and I know exactly what it is. And then all I have to do is basically verify my report and make sure I didn't override something I didn't need to. All my figures are pulling from the right place, that sort of thing. And that's just a personal preference. I want to make sure my report is right and I didn't mess it up in copy and paste, or that I copied and pasted the right cells and all of that. So just a way to make my life easier. I like my formulas and all of that. So just a few different ways to use templates. And then you may find different uses for different templates. So for example, if you're often sending out request letters in Word and you want to do it that way instead, you can do that. Or if you use macros in Excel, that can be used to, for example, format an aging or a inventory report, or even setting up filters for the same report. For example, if you use accounting software like NetSuite, then you can have certain columns set up automatically to show whatever you need. So basically, to me, having a template set up just makes my day that much more efficient. I don't have to spend as much time creating the report or creating that formatting. It's just one less thing I have to do in the day, and I can go about doing my work, and I have the easier parts of my day set up, and all I have to worry about is changing the data. So that is actually all there is for that. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, updates, want me to look into anything, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. And you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. All links, episodes, support links, and all of that can be found at PatelN01.com. And this show and more shows can be found on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.